Have you ever asked somebody how they're doing and they tell you how busy they are? Mark, have you ever done that?
100%.
I've been the person saying I'm too busy. So today we're going to talk about how this idea of being overworked is actually a badge of honor in our culture. You're listening to the 100 Huntley Street podcast with Cheryl Weber and
Mark Masri. Thanks for joining us today, folks. This is a really, really important conversation, Cheryl, because I got to be honest, like when I'm asked that question, like I kind of wear it like a badge of honor. Like, I'm busy, you know? Can't you see how busy I am? How much I'm getting done? How productive I am? We don't equate productivity with not being busy.
Exactly. And I have actually someone in my life who this is a major pain point with. They hate it when people say they're too busy. And I'm like, yes, that person's sitting right beside you. But I'm only just being honest. But I agree. We kind of celebrate overwork and not self-care, not spiritual reflection, not putting your family first. You know, even today I was talking to somebody who's working in Ukraine in a war zone. He's leaving the work he's doing right now to come home to help his daughter go into grade 12. And he's so conflicted because of the work and the need and, of course, the very real trauma. But it's like family first, man. You know, like I was just trying to encourage him. This is what we need to focus on. What are the most important things in life? And yes, we work hard, but we don't let work run our lives.
Yeah. And what do you think it is that drives us, like in this need to be busy, to eat up every minute of our day? Is it, need I say, or should I say, is it the need or the want of things that maybe drives our, we have this consumerism mentality here. We've got to have want. I see that, therefore I want, therefore I work hard to get it. Is that what drives us? I mean, do we really love being busy for the sake of being busy?
I think for some people, that is probably it. Definitely not. That's not it for me, because in ministry, you're not bringing in the bacon that much. But I think for me, more just the feeling of significance, right? That your life matters, that what you do matters. And also, you know, when people say like great job or this changed my life or this impacted me, it does feed something in you that isn't just,
like affirmation.
Yeah,
it's like affirming.
Kind of.
Because it means you're making a difference.
And it means you matter.
Yeah.
And every one of us needs to hear that. But that's an unhealthy outworking of the need to matter, I think, or have significance or purpose even.
Well, today we're going to tackle this conversation. Lar has a great guest, Pastor Daniel M. from Edmonton, Alberta. He's written a book called You Are What You Do. I've got a feeling that maybe that's a play on words. And he is telling us that you are not what you own and you are not what you do. Are you okay with that, Cheryl?
Yes, I think I need to hear this. So let's listen.
After a year of great loss globally due to COVID-19, many of us are taking personal inventory. Are we defined by our jobs, experiences, popularity, possessions, parenting, the negative things that happen to us or that we've done? Here to help us answer these questions is Daniel M., author, pastor, podcaster, and leadership expert. Thank you for being with us today, Daniel.
Well, I'm excited to be with you today, Lara.
Thank you. You know, in your latest book, which you wrote pre-COVID-19 pandemic, and it was just released a year ago, it's very timely, but the book is called You Are What You Do and Six Other Lies About Work, Life, and Love. You know, in this book, you point out some interesting social and economic trends. What are they?
Yeah, it's so fascinating in God's providence and his timing, how he designs things. And pre-COVID, there was this trend that honestly, once COVID hit, I was like, what's going to happen? And COVID actually accelerated it even more. It's called the gig economy, right? Not talking about gig internet or gig speeds, but it's this idea that, you know, you're either getting paid part-time or full-time for your time, skills, possessions, or expertise, right? So it's like, have you ever sold something on Facebook Marketplace or gotten your hair cut or paid someone to mow your lawn or hired an independent contractor or, you know, had someone do renovations on your home? These are kind of the day in, day out, normal ways that we've interacted with the gig economy in the past, right? These days, maybe more Uber or skip the dishes or these sorts of things. But it's interesting how this, over the past several years, right, in Canada, in the US, Australia, and in the UK, have just been increasing year over year.
Now, Daniel, you've worked in churches all over the world. You've worked everywhere from Nashville to Korea, leading anywhere from 100 people to 50,000 people. And through this work, you've observed something. You have noticed that there are 7 lies robbing people of their true identity, meaning, and purpose. What are these lies?
Yeah, these 7 lies, honestly, it all stemmed, they all relate a little bit to our identity, really, in how we see ourselves, like you are what you do. I mean, who of us have not thought that at all? Or even if you think about kids, right? What question do we ask our kids? I mean, what do you want to be when you grow up? And isn't it interesting how we always answer it with what we want to do? So from a young age, right, we define ourselves by what we do. But some of the other lies are you are what you experience, which that has been definitely interrupted this past year with, we were supposed to go see family, go on vacations. I mean, there are all these things that we had planned. And we really take, I mean, if you think about the rise of Instagram and actually how, side note, a lot of tourism in different countries have actually leveraged this lie to increase industry for them. It's just, that's a whole nother conversation. But lies like that, or you are who you know, or what you own and who you raise and you are your past. So there's this collection of lies that honestly, I mean, we have believed in some sense for a really long time, but the gig economy has kind of, it's risen it to the surface. It's bubbled it to the surface.
Yes. And, you know, there's so many people that fall into the trap of believing these lies, and you've mentioned them all. You know, you are what you do. You are what you experience. You are who you know. You are what you know. You are what you own. You are who you raise. You are your past. Why do we fall into these lies?
Yeah. So this is a little bit of how it ties to the gig economy, right? Because initially some people were like, wait, so you're writing a book on the gig economy, but you're not an economist. I was like, yes, I am not an economist. I'm a pastor. So they're like, why are you talking about the gig economy? And I was like, well, because the gig economy has actually, and some researchers actually point to it being about 30 to 40% of our workforce. Okay, and it's about that, that about 30 to 40% are somehow involved in the gig economy in Canada, in the US, and a few other countries. But I would say more than 80 to 90% are funding the gig economy. And I think especially during COVID, we've all funded the gig economy in some form or fashion. And here's the thing that unites them all. The gig economy promises a life of freedom and flexibility. And what's fascinating about this, right? Because it's like this, it's this idea of, you want to go on that vacation? Well, instead of binging Netflix, go get it, like go sell something, right? On eBay or on Facebook Marketplace, or you want to help your kids pay off their education. Well, then go and do this. Or you're retired, but you're kind of bored. So, okay, go and drive for Uber. And we have all of these subtle whispers that are being just whispered into our mind, our hearts and our souls. And it's the lie that really it goes as old as the Garden of Eden, which is you want a life of full control. You want a life of freedom. You want a life of flexibility. And freedom and flexibility are what the gig economy promises. It's like, okay, well, here you go. Here is now a path for that. And when we follow that path and go down that path, that's when unintentionally we begin believing these lies about who we are, not who God says we are.
I want to dive into some of the lies you talk about, Daniel, and how we can overcome them. Because right now in COVID-19, actually, this book helps us see the cracks underneath us. And I know that's something you've said before. So I want to start with the first lie: you are what you do. Mm. You know, over 2 million Canadians have lost their job due to COVID-19. Mm. And suddenly they have nothing to do. They're not busy. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there, and they're maybe very much connected to that lie. Maybe they believe it. They are what they do. How can we identify, reject, and heal from this lie?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this is partially why the Canadian government and other governments have tried to keep people gainfully employed, because they know what happens in regards to mental health and emotional health and family health when someone loses their job. right? And I mean, I know from personal experience what it's like to lose everything, to lose the thing that you've been building your life around and for, and it to be all taken away from you. This was about 11 years ago when we were in Korea for a couple of years, and everything was just kind of pulled out from underneath of us. And honestly, for us, it wasn't like this, okay, well, you know, God's going to provide. Obviously, God did provide, and he will provide, because he knows the number of hairs that are on our head, and he will never leave us nor forsake us, right? He has not abandoned us, even though we might feel that way. So yes, I knew that up here, but when everything is taken away from you, it's not surprising that we feel lost, right? It's like our compass is just going around in circles because it has no true north. And it's in moments like that, especially for all of those who are listening and who have lost their job. And if you haven't, you know someone who has, right? This moment, more than ever, needs to be a moment where we seek our true north and discover why God says, hey, you know, turn your eyes to me, right? Why there is even that song, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because I mean, in the midst of all the storms in life and the cracks that are underneath the surface that have really shown itself, I mean, the only way that we can find our identity is not basing on what we do, but on the fact that we're a child of God.
You know, we also know that in this pandemic, with remote learning and extracurricular activities stopped, a lot of parents are concerned about their kids' grades, which are often slipping, and social isolation, and whether they're developing the skills they need in life. And as a result, parents are starting to think, you know, that they're failing. And I know that because I'm a mom and I hear my other friends say that. So what about that lie? You are who you raise. How can a parent face that lie and overcome it and stop with the self-condemnation?
Yeah. Well, we actually, before we kind of address that head on, we need to understand that we often parent the way that we've been parented, unless we consciously do so otherwise, right? And what is interesting is, in moments of high stress, we revert to our defaults. With us being so in proximity with each other, it goes back to elementary school geography, right? Or geology. I mean, why is it that Edmonton doesn't get earthquakes and Vancouver and the coast of North America on the Pacific side gets earthquakes? Well, it's because there's underneath the surface, there are cracks, right? There are fault lines. And what COVID has done, especially in our parenting, is caused us to see what was always there underneath the surface, the cracks that were always there. COVID didn't cause them. They were already there. The lie that we are who we raise, in a sense, I believe every parent struggles with at some point in time or another. So it really is just kind of risen to the surface. And it's like, okay, are you going to keep on ignoring it and pushing away, or are we going to face it head on?
Another area that I think is very pertinent to your book is, for your book, for this time of life that we're in, is you are your past. It's a lie. And, you know, a lot of people in the last year have fell into addiction. They fell into, whether it's alcoholism or pornography, they are struggling and they are wondering, can I have a better 2021? What do I do to move past what this last year has been like and rebuild?
If you don't already realize this, what you're going to realize is the amount of weight and burden and stress that you'll experience trying to keep it all underneath the surface. I mean, imagine if your past is like a beach ball that you're trying to keep underneath the surface because you're ashamed and you're not sure what's going to happen if you allow that to get to the surface. Well, just think about the amount of mental, emotional, spiritual, physical energy you are exerting to keep that underneath the surface. I mean, imagine you get really good at it, right? And you're like, well, I don't need two hands. I'm just going to hold it down with one hand. And you get really good at holding it down with one hand, and you're just kind of leaning on it like this. And you have one hand that you can use, but not the other. I mean, imagine the way that you're hamstrung by living your life with one hand down and one hand, whereas in reality, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. right? Instead of trying to keep that beach ball down in our past, we need to allow that to come to the surface and allow God to heal that so we can learn what it means to live with both hands and live freely and fully. I mean, that's how God intended it to be. So it's this idea that, hey, we are free from all condemnation in Christ. So let's allow God to not erase the past, because I think that's what we want. Let's actually allow him to bring beauty from those ashes.
And, you know, you say, Daniel, in your book, it's not enough to confront the lies or work through them, which we've just done. We've just done with our viewers and our friends watching. We have to replace those lies with the truth, with the truth of who we are in God's eyes. Who are we in God's eyes?
Yeah, I'll end with this. I mean, it's as ancient as the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says in Matthew 5, you've heard it was said, but now I say to you. You've heard it was said, but now I say to you. So what I'd love to do is just kind of answer your question through that Jesus framework of you've heard it was said, now I say to you, right? So you've heard it was said that you are what you do, but I say to you, you're a child of God. You've heard it was said that you are what you experience, but I say to you, you are a new creation in Christ. You've heard it was said that you are who you know, but I say to you, what's more important than that is that you are known. You are known and you are seen by our loving Savior, Jesus. You've heard it was said that you are what you own, but I say to you, you're complete in Jesus. So you don't always need to be on that shopping cart, that online shopping cart. And you know, you've heard it was said that you are who you raise, but I say to you, you and your children are God's masterpiece. And lastly, you've heard it was said that you are your past, but I say to you, you are free. You are absolutely free from all condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Daniel. Amen. Amen to those words.
All right, Cheryl, I've got a confession to make. I didn't give the full title of the book, but I knew what I was doing. I wanted people to stay tuned to make sure, of course, you are what you do, and six other lies about work.
Life and love. Let's finish the whole title. Let's try it again. You are what you do, and six other lies about work, life, and love.
Maybe I need to get my eyes checked.
You're just like, that's too long. I'm not going to finish that.
I'm just too busy to read the whole title. All right, Cheryl?
You are too busy. It's true. Probably actually true, but.
But so, I mean, such valuable conversation. My goodness, do I really need to take stock of where I focus my time and my effort and need to unplug and just like as it says in Psalms, to be still and know that he is God and know that my identity is in him. It should be in him. I think oftentimes we put it in other things. Of course, that's the whole point of our discussion today.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because a lot of times in your life, those lies are not exposed until the thing that you're grappling for identity is taken away. So if you're friends with someone important and that person moves away, now you're not important. Or if, you know, you have a lot of money and you lose that money, now what is my value? Or retirement. Like, you know, I've talked to people about that season of your life where everything's shifting. Maybe you lose some people that you know because they're all getting older. Maybe you lose your job. We're going to be forced to deal with it at some point. We're probably not working to the very day that we die, right? And so better to do the soul work now, I think, and figure out what am I grappling at to make me feel like I matter? And then how can I shift that to how God sees me? You know, he says your only identity can be really in being a child of God. And I don't know if you've been through a season in your life where everything's kind of stripped away. I definitely have. And it's like in that moment, you kind of have to sort through all the other stuff that you've been taking for security and importance and come back to, I'm a child of God. I am loved by him. He created me and he thinks I'm amazing, even when I'm not doing anything. And that's enough. And oh my goodness, that is a hard place to live in and to stay in.
Yes.
Right?
As you're talking, I'm screaming, yes! I have been there. I have so been there. There have been seasons in my life where the things that I was doing, even things I was doing for the kingdom of God that were stripped away. It was a time of season change. You know, I was moving into another season. I didn't know what it was, but God was changing things, was recalibrating some things in my life. And I had to come to that place of realizing that I wasn't the things that I did, even if they were for him.
Oh. I know. I'm just like, this is like actually hurting my soul right now because even though I know all of this, I don't think I'm very good at it because I definitely was raised with a real strong work ethic, where it's good to work hard. You always need to work hard. You got to give 150%. And you know, honestly, it hasn't always stood me in good stead. I mean, it's been good in the sense of that I've, you know, showed up and given my best, but it's come at a huge price too for my relationships, my health, my sleep, my rest, yeah. stress, like long-term stress. And so maybe now in this decade of my life, I can get wise and really learn this. And I feel like in some ways I am, mm-hmm. you know, like they say, when you're younger, you manage your time. When you get a little bit older, I'm not old yet, by the way. When you get a little bit older, you manage your energy.
That's, yeah, there's a lot of wisdom in that. And I think with age, as we come through some, go through some things in life, loss, heartache, pain, disappointment, and we get accustomed to how we need to respond to those things, they hold less of a, there's not as much of a sting that's associated with them because we have a better perspective on things. We know that things turn out better down the road. And that is so true about that's so true about our identities and understanding that who we are, again, is not associated to the things that we have, the house that we live in, the place where we work, or the names that we drop here and there that make us feel important, but it is who we are in God. We are friends of God. We are a royal priesthood. We're all the things that the Bible says. We are, you know, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are his beloved. Like that should be enough, Cheryl.
Yeah,
it really should be enough.
Everything.
I know. And we shouldn't put any but after that session, that phrase. That is enough, friends. And that's the point of today's discussion.
I really hope that if you're listening to this conversation and you're listening to Mark and I bear our souls about all the areas that we are terrible at in our own
life. Much better now.
Right. I hope that you are asking yourself, you know, what are some of the things I post on social media that make me feel more important, or the things that I do, or the things that my spouse does, or the things that my kids do. I mean, that's a whole nother thing he talks about is, you know, you are not who you raise. So mm-hmm. if your kids do, you know, turn out to be, do terrible things with their lives, that's not you. It's not your identity. Or if they do great things,
or if your kid gets into an Ivy League school, you're like, you're the first one, you know, you're bragging about your kid and they got in, they were only one of so many that got, you know, into the, you're right. We are not any of those things.
Mm. Wow. Okay, there's so much to think about. I feel like we should take 60 seconds of silence while we all just do our inner little soul work, but I don't think that the producers will checkmark that.
No. I think they will consider that the end of the podcast. But hey, listen, if you would like prayer in your life, you're on this faith journey, you don't have it all figured out, as Cheryl and I do not have it all figured out, but we are certainly on this journey with you. We want to invite you to call those prayer lines. They are wonderful people that would love to encourage you on your faith journey, introduce you to Jesus. If you're curious about what relationship with Jesus is like, he created you, my friend. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. Call 1-866-273-4444. If you are struggling with an identity crisis, find yourself in Jesus and things will go a lot better for you. I promise you that.
And thanks for listening to us bear our soul. It's been like a mini counseling session. You've been listening to the 100 Huntley Street podcast with Mark Masery and Cheryl Weber.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Center of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.